It's the confluence where the news comes together, our news roundup show. I'm Kevin Gavin. A new academic year got underway Monday in Pittsburgh Public Schools. With the new year comes some major changes. New superintendent, Anthony Hamlet, a new transgender policy for all the schools in the district, and a new influx of students from Wilkinsburg now attending Westinghouse Academy in the city. Joining us on the confluence is WESA education reporter Sarah Schneider. Sarah, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
And we're pleased to welcome Mary Niederberger, freelance reporter for the Post-Gazette and for Public Source. Mary, welcome to you as well.
Good to be here.
Anthony Hamlet was sworn in as the district super July 1st after a few weeks of what he called unintended distraction caused by allegations of misrepresentation of achievement numbers when he led the Palm Beach County Schools and even plagiarism on his resume. 2 days earlier, the school board voted to keep Hamlet 7-2. To both of you, Mary and Sarah, has Hamlet put these allegations behind him? And I assume now that the school year is underway, he's probably happy that it is indeed underway so he can focus on education and the kids. We'll start with you, Mary.
Well, I think the board has made it clear. I think the board has made it clear that they're 100% behind him. And so that's making it easier for him to put it behind him and move forward. The proof is going to be now in what he accomplishes.
Sarah?
Yeah, I mean, after the decision to retain him as superintendent, he released a statement saying, I'm going to work with everyone, no matter if they supported me or if they were hesitant of the decision to hire me as superintendent. So since then, he's released his 90-day plan for the district, and he's working with some consulting groups. So I think he's moving past this.
Okay. So when the board hired him to replace Linda Lane, was there any specific charge or overall goal that they set out for him?
You know, they didn't share that information. It was a closed search, and that was a big controversy. So we don't know what their goal was. He has said since he's come in that he wants to turn it into a student-centered district. Perhaps that was their goal, or perhaps that's what he brought up when he interviewed, but we don't know what their goal was in the beginning.
Yeah, I know the board was very pleased with his work with community schools in the past, and that's something that they've already jumped into with this school year. So that seems to be something, but like Mary said, it was vague.
Now, Sarah mentioned that in early August, Hamlet released the tales of his 90-day plan, which he said began with his first day on the job. He told WESA in an interview he wanted to get input from all the stakeholders at a variety of community forums.
It's going to be a smattering of all our voices, because everybody's going to have voice and input in the forums. Again, they're public forums. We want everybody to actually come. But also, we'll have some separate forums for students also and capture some things that they want also and hear their voice from a standpoint of no adults around. These are just kids and me having a conversation.
The forums have started. Have we learned anything as of yet from any of these forums?
So there's been one already. There are 8 more planned throughout the district in different regions. And so he said that he wants to hear from students and parents and concerned members, but he hasn't said anything yet. They're going to compile that.
I think the fact that he had 75 people at his first forum is very positive. Anybody that's ever covered urban districts, urban education, knows how hard it is to get parents and community members out to meetings. So if they're all like that, I think this will turn into a good effort. He will get a lot of feedback.
What's your sense of why, Mary? Is it because he's the new guy, maybe more open to ideas, or what?
I don't know. Maybe it means that people are looking for change in the school district. I mean, you're motivated to come when you come to a meeting. They may feel he's willing to listen, and maybe they like this idea of a student-centered district and the idea of change.
So how's this information? You mentioned one has been held, and they're going to be held in each of the different districts, the 9 districts within Pittsburgh Public, the city of Pittsburgh. What's going to come from this information that's gathered? Well, at least what's the intention?
Yeah, he said he's going to use this to help form the strategic plan for the district, and he's contracted for 5 years, so we're thinking that'll be the first 5 years. He's working with a couple consulting groups to help him in this transition. They haven't released the names of who that transition team, members of that transition team yet.
Mary, you mentioned the 75 people showing up at the one. Is the typical input, having covered these kind of meetings, and you were actually, it seemed like you were a bit surprised by the number of people who showed up. Is it sort of more real specific than broad vision from the people who show up, the parents, the other stakeholders, the interested parties?
Generally, at meetings like this, people have their specific issues. It's not a broad vision. They usually have specific issues that they want to have addressed. And to have, again, to have 75 people show up is incredible. I covered all the meetings when they were talking about bringing the Wilkinsburg kids to Pittsburgh. You didn't even get a handful of people at those meetings.
It's the Confluence on 90.5. We're talking about a brand new year, school year, in the Pittsburgh Public Schools with some major changes, and we're discussing that with Mary Niederberger. She's a freelance reporter for the Post-Gazette and Public Source, and reporter Sarah Schneider from WESA. And starting this new school year, this week, a new district-wide policy took effect addressing the rights of transgender students. Refresh us on how this came about and why it came about.
So this came from a directive from the White House to allow transgender students to use a bathroom that corresponds with their gender identity. And this brings the district now into compliance with state and federal standards. But what's different about this policy is it allows a student to use a name they identify with without the permission of their parents.
Well, what I was going to add is at the time that they approved this policy, they did it. Even Cynthia Falls, who seemed to be opposed to it because she said there was a federal mandate. But late in August, there's a federal judge who issued a preliminary injunction against the federal mandate. So it's unclear where the federal law is right now. But this policy was modeled after one that was already in effect at Brashear High School, which has a very large gay-straight alliance and is probably one of the most tolerant schools, probably the most tolerant school in the district. They had already been doing this for 2 years. So they were encouraging the board to take their policy and do it district-wide. So there was a convergence of that internal force and then the federal mandate.
Sarah, I know you talked to some transgender students about this policy, including Oliver Sterling Angus.
Yeah, Oliver was one of the students that spoke at a public hearing about this. So he's a 16-year-old. He's a co-leader of the Gender and Sexuality Student Union at Pittsburgh Kappa. And he told me to be able to use the men's bathroom would make him feel comfortable, but it was more than that.
Also having just like general conversations in classrooms about what it means to be transgender or what it means to be gay or lesbian. And that's actually something I wanted to work on like next year, because I'm also going to be the class president. And one of the things that I really wanted to work on was having more facilitated conversations where people like can come in and educate students and teachers as a whole.
So do we have any sense of how the district is going to monitor the implementation of this policy, whether it's in the classroom directly, whether it's in the restrooms? Do we have any sense of that?
Well, they said that each school is going to have what they call a point team, which will be specially trained teachers, counselors, administrators, and security officers. And they will work with everyone on how this policy should be implemented and answer questions, deal with situations.
Yeah, and they started that training this summer with a nonprofit called Thrive. And so that was with school administrators.
In our remaining 2 minutes, I do want to talk about the influx of new students into the Pittsburgh Public Schools with Wilkinsburg students, grades 7 through 12, right?
That's correct.
At Westinghouse. What's anticipated from here? How do they avoid any, how do they facilitate a good integration of these students so that they can be successful as students and in their academic achievement?
Well, I think they started on that. They've had a lot of joint activities between the two groups to get them together. They also did a lot of, they looked at the curriculum in Wilkinsburg to see where the kids were behind. They offered summer school to kids to try to bring them up. Not everybody took advantage of it, but a large group did. So I think socially and academically, they've done a lot of work over the summer. The question is the safety issue. And, you know, the school officials don't like that raised, but I think it's a valid question. The parents that did show up at the community forums in Wilkinsburg, it was foremost in their minds is whether or not their children would be kept safe.
So, Sarah, safety raised by the parents, and whether the district wants to talk about it or not, are they prepared? Is there any heightened security?
They haven't said there will be heightened security. Everyone seems to think this is going to be a smooth transition. On the first day of school, they had people lining the steps, cheering them on, welcoming Wilkinsburg students.
All right. Mary Niederberger is a freelance reporter for the Post-Gazette and Public Source. Sarah Schneider is WESA's education reporter. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And now, one final note. The city of Pittsburgh held a memorial ceremony Thursday for former Mayor Bob O'Connor, who died 10 years ago, September 1st, 2006. Bob O'Connor was a lifelong Pittsburgher, born December 9th, 1944. He grew up in Greenfield. 2 years after graduating from Alderdice High, he married his high school sweetheart, Judy. After 19 years in the restaurant business, O'Connor made his first run for public office in 1991 for city council, and he won. During his 11 years on council, he made two bids for mayor, both times losing to Tom Murphy. O'Connor left council to serve in Governor Ed Rendell's administration, but then in 2005, he tried one more time for the job he coveted, mayor of the city he loved, Pittsburgh. He was known for his hearty handshake and glint in his Irish eyes, a guy who was as comfortable, if not more so, with a back porch conversation as he was with a boardroom discussion. The dream came true for Bob O'Connor November 8th of that year.
If we're going to turn this city around, we better believe in ourselves. We have to change our attitude and know that we are the best organization, the best people in the world. We have the everything here, the resources. Do you believe we can do it? All right.
July 6th, 6 months after taking office, Bob O'Connor was taken to UPMC Shadyside after complaining of flu-like symptoms. His personal physician, Bernard Bernacki, announced the mayor had been diagnosed with a very rare form of brain cancer.
Mr. O'Connor is a fighter. He's an intense individual. He has that great charm and that great smile. But he is a man who is going to compete with this disease, and he's going to fight it. And if we have anything to say about it, he's going to be successful.
Doctors first tried chemotherapy and then radiation. But in late August, the mayor's condition slipped quickly. Pittsburghers gathered at City Hall for prayer services and vigils.
I actually am a Republican, but I voted for him the last two times he ran because I believed he was the mayor for the city and that he loved the city and cared about the city.
September 1st, 2006, just 8 months into his administration, a very aggressive cancer cut short Bob O'Connor's living his dream as mayor of Pittsburgh. And here's what we're looking ahead to in Pittsburgh. The city becomes a focal point for the presidential campaign. The city's Labor Day parade usually draws political leaders, and this year is no exception. Current Vice President Joe Biden and the Democratic nominee for Vice President Tim Kaine are scheduled to march in the parade. A week from Sunday, we'll mark the 15th anniversary of 9/11, with special ceremonies being held in Somerset County. The next community forum with Pittsburgh Public Schools Superintendent Anthony Hamlet is set for Thursday, September 8th at Carrick. And the next forum with Police Chief Cameron McClay is September 15th in Zone 4 in the Squirrel Hill area. And for this week, that's the confluence where the news comes together. The engineer is Tom Hurley. Our producer is Marcus Charleston. Thanks to our guests, and thanks to you for listening. I'm Kevin Gavin. Till next time. Hope you have a good week of good news.